What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show, new head coach of Air Force Falcons, Coach Joe Christopher, here on the Boss Man Show. Coach Joe, man, how life for you going to becoming the Falcons new head coach? Man, I love the gear you got there on. Man, I love it.
I got my Air Force gear. I get to move back out there permanently next week, but it's been a great whirlwind so far. I'm super excited, super thankful to be the head coach, and it's a special place, and we're going to get them rocking and rolling.
No doubt, man. It wasn't mean to get you was officially head coach, and you know you played overseas, played the NBA for a little bit, man. I just feel you to get a program like Air Force on the Mountain West, a great conference, one of the top major leagues in the D1, and really put yourself in this program going forward.
No, I'm super excited. I mean, the Mountain West is a great conference. You know, Air Force is an incredible academic institution and military institution, so. Everybody knows about the challenges, but I think there's a tons of perks that go with it too. I mean, you get a great group of kids who are on a mission for something bigger than themselves, that love their country and that want to play ball. And I'm somebody who wants to play ball fast. And I think that fits the Air Force motto of fly, fight, win. So we're adopting that to the hilt, so to speak. And we're going to get these guys rolling. I mean, they're coming off a couple tough years, but I actually like that. It's a chance to form a new identity and bring out all the potential that's within the program, and that's what we're excited about.
Now, Coach Joe, as his man, for as an Air Force or Army or Navy, how much different is it to recruit to those schools because of the military component? Is he has to be have certain GPAs or you have to commit to the military? How is that process of recruiting a young man who might want to come to Air Force now?
Yeah, I mean, number one is the academic component, actually. I mean, it's a high academic school. It's demanding. And if a guy's not ready for it, then you don't want to bring him in. We do have a prep component, which helps some guys. But that actually, we actually start with the academics first. Because if you can't cut it, you know, in the Mountain West, it's hard enough basketball-wise. But if you're struggling in the classroom, you're going to be struggling on the court. So there's that component. And then the military component is different. And I'm learning more by the day. A lot of this goes down to education, right? Because usually there's perceptions about what it entails. And then there's the reality, right? And a lot of times the perceptions are kind of negative. But there's a lot of positives that come with it. And, you know, one of the simplest is just like they're trying to form you into a better man, a better human being. There's the discipline, there's the structure, there's the squadrons, there's preparations for life and serving in the military afterwards. But people forget that service in the military isn't just you know, boots on the ground, so to speak, you're getting paid for this. There's some really positive things that you're able to do after you get out, depending on your major. So we're spending a lot of time learning about that ourselves and then educating people to say, hey, this is what it actually looks like over the long haul. So, you know, the basketball component has to be pretty simple, which I like to keep it simple because those other components are things. Yes. We're not just talking hoops here or salaries or everything else. We're talking about all of life. And if you don't have a vision for your next 10 to 20 years, probably, you know, we might not be the place for you, and that's fine. And we move on.
And coach, like I'm a prime example student athlete. My degree's in business. So I have my own media company, my own radio show. So I'm a prime example of a student athlete where if you use your degree, which I had in business, I'm doing, you can do it and live your dream like I'm doing right now. I've had my show for 14 years and all because of my degree I got in business right now.
That's right. That's right. And these guys, we got management, we got cybersecurity, we got, of course, guys who want to be pilots or jumping out of the planes. Like we got all sorts of stuff. But the guys, you know, I think more kids are understanding that too, right? When they talk about their own brand, so to speak, guys are understanding it, this can last, like you just said, way longer than you think, right? Your playing career is not going to last, Lord willing, as long as your life. So, you know, the kids who have a vision for that, and there's still opportunities, right? You still have guys. I still hope we have guys that end up playing in the NBA and the G League. There's room, absolutely room to do that at Air Force. But on the whole, if you don't have a vision for life at large, you know, we might not be the place for you. But fortunately, there's a lot of guys who do.
No doubt, Coach. Man, yes, man, for you, at what point in your journey did you decide you want to get into coaching? I know we all think we know the game and want to give back to the game. But for you, when did you decide that I want to coach and teach guys the game of basketball, man?
It's a good question. I was a hooper at heart and not worried about coaching. I just wanted to play. So, you know, through college, on into the NBA and the minor leagues, it took me probably five years or so into my playing career to realize probably what everybody else around me knew, that I wanted to coach. My grandfather was a coach. My uncle was a coach. My dad was a coach. I grew up in the gym. So it shouldn't be very surprising, but I think I was so focused on, and I was a guy who always complained about whatever the coach was doing, which is usually an indication you want to coach. But about 5 to 6 years into my career, I was like, oh, wow, I want to coach. And the last half of my career really became preparation for coaching, right? Taking notes and reading books and really learning what needed to be done, knowing, and I retired earlier than I probably could have and financially probably should have because I wanted to coach. I just knew it was time for me to do so. And, you know, fortunately I had a really good foundation. I had a lot of good coaches and I had some not so good coaches. I learned from both of them. And, you know, I knew philosophically what I believed about basketball and had at least enough self-awareness to be able to be a good head coach pretty soon. And I was fortunate enough to get that opportunity at the D3 level.
And for you, I know for me, when I was playing, it was more still two bigs. It was kind of the traditional, you know, that running that old school offense my dad loved. So for you now seeing all this pace and space, man, and these great actions that we run now, how cool is it now seeing how the game has evolved?
Well, I always played that way. And I just usually used to get in trouble for it. Or my coach would be like, well, I guess I'll put up with it because it's working enough. Or they just had signed me to a contract and they were like, well, I can't get rid of them easily. So I guess we got to put up with them. I always played that way. We played that way in high school. You know, Coach Dunn gave me the green light or I just took the green light, one or the other here at Penn State, playing that way. That's the way I'm committed to playing because that's the way I wanted to play, right? It's the golden rule of coaching is coach the way you wanted to be coached. Give your players what you wanted. I loved playing the game fast. I loved shooting transition threes. I loved shooting from deep. I loved attacking quickly and keeping things simple. So for me, you know, part of me loves where the game has gone. Part of me is like, man, I wish they'd slowed down a little bit because I was going to be doing this anyway. And I would have been the outlier and had a strategic advantage. But I always tell people I just have a personal constraint of I'm going to play the game fast. We're going to figure out a way to play the game in the full court defensively and offensively because that's the way I always wanted to play the game and liked playing the game and still like playing the game. Even if I'm out there with some managers nowadays, I'm going to be running and we're going to be shooting quickly. So that is going to be Air Force basketball. And it's always going to be my style for sure for the rest of my life.
And Coach Joe, talk about getting young men to get learn those that 0.5 mentality, those quick reads, and not get too caught up in just trying to just trust what you see. Defense will tell you what you're going to do.
Yep.
Make your quick read, pop the ball, get that ball popping, get them in rotation. You'll get you an open three and one of the corners.
Yeah. We call them the 4-point corners. So the biggest thing too is I think we have, because it's not as hard today because they're seeing it on television more consistently. So really you're just telling them, you're asking them and teaching them to imitate what they've seen, right? And what they see the NBA guys doing, putting teams in blenders, making quick decisions. I mean, I always talk to our guys about just stacking simplicity, creating an advantage, playing off an advantage. You know, we do a variety of things to make them play in advantage situations where the defense is at a disadvantage, offense is at an advantage. And then you're just teaching them to hunt those things and you're teaching them to hunt them as quickly as possible. Our guys like it because it's dynamic. It forces everybody to make plays. It forces everybody to make quick decisions, but also to take shots, right? You know, this is an attack first mentality, a paint first mentality. And I, you know, players play better when they're in that aggressive mindset. And this style of play puts them in that aggressive mindset. So it makes it a lot easier to teach because you're going with the grain, you're going with the wind, so to speak. That's the way they want to play. They're not resisting you at any stretch.
And I've been lucky, Coach Joe. I've been around the Atlanta Hawks, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Indiana Pacers. They all play conceptually out of five out. And it's similar. It's like, yeah, it works.
Yep.
Because you're not thinking, you're just playing. You have concepts.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. You don't have to sit up here and look at the play sheet and call it, call one
That's
down. It's slow everything down. Let's just play.
No, and it's, I always say, like, as a player, you want to feel confident that you have the answers,
yes.
Right? You have the answers. The defense is going to give you some problems. We got the answers. Well, I don't want to be the guy on the sidelines directing traffic like an air traffic controller. I might have the answers. I should have the answers. I should know what the answers are, but I'm hoping, and the hope and the goal is always to prepare your players in a way that they are confident they have the answers. And that's really the conceptual approach, is just trusting that they've internalized the game. And we always played the game that way. I mean, we played the game that way on the playground back in the 90s. You know, we knew who the weak defenders were. We knew who the best players were. We knew where they wanted the ball. And we knew how to get them there somehow. So, you know, we always used that growing up. There was a limited amount of structure on a busy playground, but there were all the principles that we're using today. They've always been around. We're just doing them a little bit faster.
100%. And Coach, let me ask this, man, how is it getting young men in college to kind of understand game plans, understand scouts? I know even at the NBA level, I see it where sometimes the guys who don't play as much have issues with understanding their roles on the scout, understanding what the game plan is. So how about getting young men in college to understand how to look the game mentally, understand game plan, discipline, understand scouts, understand what you look for, how to adjust in game and understand the concept by having walked through it previously, per se?
Yeah, I'd say we talk about it a ton with processing information. I don't want to overload you with information, but the information I give you, you have to apply the information. If you got to take what's on the whiteboard onto the court. You got to take off from the film onto the court, right? In the NBA, to your point, I learned that quickly in the NBA. And I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. And I had the preparation to be able to do that. But they would show you some film before the game and you were expected to go out and apply it. And the guys who can't apply that information often can't play. So with college guys, a lot of times in the AAU environment, you play so many games that your preparation is limited. They don't have as much experience, many of them, you know, based on the limitations of their high school program or in the circuits, right? You don't have a ton of time to prepare for games. You don't have a day or two to prepare for teams. So managing and processing information is something we'll even emphasize in our workouts and practice, right? So when you're playing one-on-one and you're closing out on a guy, you're not just closing out on the guy in general, you're closing out on that guy. How should you close out on that guy? You know, what kind of pace do we want to create against this team? We'll even, when we come back and have most of our group in the summer and when school starts and we have team practices, we'll have scout guys who are playing a different way and a slower pace maybe where we have to speed them up, all to work on that managing information, because you don't want to just be practicing it in the games, that's for sure. And it's often what makes the difference. I often say from a coaching perspective, You know, even to this day, I probably played longer than I coached. The difference between the pros and the college guys is often managing and processing and applying information, right? It's just they can just do it in the game because the game's slowing down for them. And that's where we want to get our college guys. And that's, you know, that's why you got to teach them a different way.
Because I know from the Hawk Scout, I'm looking from reading it the way I have, there's a different, each guy has different, where the ball is, it's a different coverage and scheme. It's that deep layer to it. And I don't think college guys are ready for that sometime in the NBA. Like the KYP is based on where the ball is when they have the ball. It could be a corner, if they have it here, slot, whatever. It's middle third. Like it's that detailed. And I think for some college guys, for them, use this really basic, but when they get that's probably seen a lot of young guys in the NBA. Like processing that scout to know every position on the court they're scouting for, and it'll be in the scout on your iPad.
Yep. Yep. And even like, and that's why we talk about processing information, applying information. It's like, it's keeping the game simple is important for that reason, because if it gets too complex and you got guys making a million decisions, they're going to mess up more often. But at the highest level, and that's what I often tell people, when you watch these NBA playoffs, it looks simple on television. It is simple, but it's really hard to apply what they apply. Their brains are processing information in a way that you can't even fathom, because they're moving Wemby's guys getting to the strong side corner for a reason, because that strong side corner guy is going to get open. They're moving different guys around the court based on their personnel, and they're constantly making adjustments, often in-game, often game-to-game. That's why I love the NBA playoffs so much. We can't do it as much, but if you apply it wisely, right, and you keep your players in the same situations often enough, they can make good decisions. They can make adjustments, but you got to teach them that way, because it is a high – and it's a high level of thought, but when you get it, you gain a competitive advantage in the college game.
Like, example, like Mike Brown went to the flex cuts against us and beat us with flex cuts like last three games of the series, because we was top in game four, we top locked it. In game five, we switched it. And then they figured it just, we just got destroyed all together.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Just that, and then the other night, right there, it was like, it changed the whole series around for the Knicks.
That's right. That's right. And then the other night, they didn't run any flex cuts. They just went right at James Harden because he was giving them buckets, you know? So it's like you had, and that's one of the things NBA teams do and professional teams do better. And that's something that I emphasize, is like, we're not attached to a certain thing, right? Sure. We want to be flexible enough and simple enough that we can do a variety of simple things. We can adjust our spacing concepts or our actions in a really, really simple way to take advantage of something the defense doesn't guard well, right? And there's ways that you can be, you know, too complex in that regard, and there's ways that you can be simple. And the NBA guys keep it simple, but they find those weaknesses. They're going to find your weaknesses, whether it's personnel or action, for sure.
No doubt, Coach Joe. And I got two more for you, man. Since you've been in the Air Force, man, what's been the coolest person that's reached out to you since you got this job, man?
That's a great question. You know, I think it's cool. Probably in general, I would just say connecting with our alumni has been really cool. You got guys who are F-15 fighter pilots. You got guys who are, you know, successful businessmen and four-star generals. And it's like you the ability to connect with people in the Air Force community and the alumni community has been awesome, because that's not been my world. Right. And it's a high performing environment. Like, you can't go there and not perform. Right. So you meet people with business acumen, flight people who jumped out of airplanes, people who flew 300 missions. I would say probably in general, that's the biggest thing that stood out to me. And, you know, I think it's made me better being around those kind of people and our coaching staffs and our administration. It's a high performance place.
And last one, Coach Joe, Nick probably can tell you this. I also have a food podcast, too. So we're big foodies here. So what's been your top food spots in Colorado Springs since you've been, when you're out there so far?
Man, that's a good question right there. I got to think about that one. I went out to lunch with Fran Fraschilla and Coach Troy Calhoun, our football coach, one day at the Lazy Dog. And they had a creative menu. I've been there twice. They had a little sushi poke bowl or something that I had, and then something else that was kind of creative. It wasn't just on the fly, but I also don't mind just getting a chocolate croissant at my local coffee shop. I'm a simple guy with my espresso, but I'm going to point you to Lazy Dog if you come out there for now. We'll go get lunch.
So, Joe, it's funny. We got one here. We got a few of them in Atlanta here, too.
Do you? Yeah. So I knew it was a chain, but I hadn't been to one. So
yeah, we got a few of them here. It's one in Alpharetta. So
okay.
Me and Stan Gerard at USI went there. Southern Indiana. We went there. Actually,
it's not bad, right?
It's fast. It was good. It was good.
Yes.
Yeah, because
I'll tell you. Here's one other one that I liked. It was a Mediterranean spot called the Heart of Jerusalem. I played in Turkey. I played in Greece. I like that Mediterranean food.
Me too.
So like, if you want something that's a little bit, smaller, kind of probably a family owned, I'll point you there, right down the road from the North Gate.
They're cozy. That mansion. Now, we in Atlanta, we messed up here. Is it gyro or gyro? How do you say it the right way?
I say gyro, but that might just be because I'm from Jersey, right? But
I say gyro. Someone say gyro. I say gyro.
You're right. Well, that's only if you're in Greece or Turkey, but they're going to understand you either way. They're going to get you something good either way.
Hey, combo plate, lamb and chicken with tabbouleh.
There you go. And give me some baklava afterwards. I'm good to go.
Yeah. So, hey, Coach, we already there, Coach. We already there, man. Hey, Coach, we have a pleasure having the show, man. It was fun. We got to do this again really soon, man. I wish you all lucky out here. Love talking ball with you. I look forward to watching all the action you run this year on ESPN+, man, when I'm watching your games and CBS as well.
Awesome. Appreciate you. I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, brother.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at BossManShow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.